Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, start from the very beginning and cover the new stuff, too. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about Season 45, Episode 11. This game rips your heart out.
Drop the four, keep the five.
I had a listener comment. They said, I've recently become obsessed with Survivor and have been listening to your podcast. I really like it. You and your brother are good at recapping the major events, but also catching the funny, interesting, non-major things, like Jeff running up the hill with the castaways during the first challenge of season 17. I'm excited.
I remember that. It was so wild.
And listening. So thanks, listener.
Yeah, thanks, listener.
I don't have anything else.
Well,
past
you know,
few weeks, I feel like I've had a lot, but I don't have anything.
You know who does have a lot in this episode? Emily, talking too much.
That's true. She starts off talking too much, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. It starts off the night after getting Bruce voted out, which Emily put some work in to make sure he didn't play his idol. And he did not and went home. And she reveals how she convinced him. And that was a big mistake. Definitely shouldn't have done that, Emily.
Yeah, huge mistake. They all seemed confused. So she was like, well, I can help with that confusion. And then it seemed like she immediately realized that this was a mistake. She like told them and they were like, ooh, Emily. And she was like, oh, fuck. And
well, yeah, because Julie was also like, oh, that was like a big move. Like Julie like highlights it. And yeah, Emily's clearly like, fuck, I messed up.
Which we talked about last week in our podcast about how this was such a great move because Bruce knows what she did and will go and tell the jury, but no one in the game realizes it, so it doesn't raise her threat level. And then Emily goes and does this. I was like, yeah. No! What are you doing?
It was a big mistake. Austin and the other Reba 4 are excited to have the majority. Austin says we dismantled them. They say they're committing this group to a final four, which we'll see this whole episode in. I think next episode is going to be all about seeing whether that is true or not.
Well, it clearly not being true. Three of the four vote for one of the others in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that. I think that's true. I don't know if they're... Yeah, we'll get there. They show some time of Austin and Dee looking at the stars, flirting with each other. Austin not being subtle at all by being like, hey, remember that All-Star season where Rob and Amber were on it?
You know, where they got married and now have four kids.
Uh-huh. Could be they give each other their words that they'll take each other to the final three. The next day at camp, we're on
Austin does that very not subtle thing, and Dee follows it up with like, my friend mentioned I might find my husband out here. And I'm like, you guys are talking like big. Like, you've known each other for 3 weeks and you are both actively talking marriage at this point. I was shocked. This was like beyond flirting. This was marriage talk.
Well, I think it was flirting through like, they're not saying like they're going to get married immediately.
Well, no, but I still am like, that feels, they're not talking about like dating outside of the game. They're talking about like getting married. This feels like a big escalation.
Yeah. Just let them love each other, Patrick.
Well, they haven't even mentioned that they love each other yet.
That's true. But on that note, Emily did say in her exit interview, she talked about the marriage conversation that we talked about last week.
I didn't see any exit press from her. I don't know why. I just missed it somehow.
But she talked about how it is like still something they are thinking about or planning for. They don't have any like set stuff yet, but she made a comment like, I hope my mom doesn't like read this yet or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that's cool. I'm glad that that's still a good conversation to have. Speaking of showmances also, I meant to bring this up last week, and I'm just going to bring it up now because I have a different thing to bring for my luxury item at the end of this episode. So I'm going to kind of loop it into other stuff. Have you heard about the new podcast with Matt and Franny and Carson and Kane from season 44.
Kane? They're doing from 44?
From Canada. Wow.
Did you know Bruce has met him?
I did know that, yeah. Bruce has also met Carson. Because they were on a track together for about
4 months. He didn't want to mention them. He just mentioned Kane.
Right. The four of them, Matt Franny, Carson, and Kane, have a D&D podcast now called Surviving the Dice. It's like 2 episodes in. I've been listening to it. I feel like actual play podcasts are always a little bit hard to get into at first because like there's a lot of like lore that they're building and stuff, but I'm into it so far.
Who's the DM?
Kane. It is like full of survivor puns. Like Franny's character and Matt's character and Carson's character, which I would say their character names, but I forget Franny's. Matt is Lamb Shanks. And Carson is like a cleric named Dom. Maybe not cleric. I don't remember. But anyway, they're like on a mission for the goddess of immunity. And there's like this thing in this culture where travelers get picked for these missions by drawing rocks, and people with the colorful rocks get picked to go on the mission. And that is how they got picked to go on their adventure and stuff like that. So there's clearly different like little survivor jokes in it, which is kind of fun. So yeah, if you are listening to this and you're into actual play D&D podcasts and enjoyed those people on Survivor 44, go try it out. Called Surviving the Dice.
Cool. I might check that out. Survive the Dice. Download. We head into day 20. Jake is sad that he got votes last night. Keturah is still pretending not to be a lawyer. Tells Jake she appreciates his type of work. Asks him what it's like. We get some backstory from Keturah, which was wild.
Yeah. So wild.
So we learned that.
It made me so much like, okay, Jeff, what the fuck with the whole letter from mom last week? What the fuck?
Yeah, I think he should have addressed that on his podcast. I'm guessing it's not actually the show's fault, but I think he still should have addressed that.
Yeah, I agree.
Or potentially, maybe he didn't because it's possible like Keturah was like, hey, don't talk about this anymore or something. I don't know.
What I do, if he would have just not talked about it, that is one thing. He did say something about like, oh, so like Keturah kind of realized how much her mom actually loves her or something. And I'm like, no, those types of comments are not helpful.
Like, oh, I don't remember hearing that.
He did say that. He was like, she's had this big emotional experience, like hearing how much her mom, like he said something about maybe giving her mom another chance or something like that. And I was like, oh, I don't love that at all.
Yeah, so we learn in her backstory that she was taken out of school after fifth grade due to her family joining an extreme religious cult. She worked several jobs as a child. We learned that she was going to become the cult leader's next wife when she was 14. And that finally like clicked with her mom of like, oh, this isn't good. We should probably leave this. And so they fled and had to kind of rejoin the world where she was not used to being out in like the world and society. And so that was tough for her as a poor black gay woman, she said, and is what made her decide to be a lawyer to fight for people like herself.
Yeah. Which she tells this whole story to Jake, but I think leaves out the lawyer part. I'm pretty sure she still is lying about not being a lawyer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's correct.
Yeah. There is a really fun moment where that, or a fun aspect of this, where she's telling this big story to Jake and Julie. And relating it to like appreciating Jake's work as a lawyer of like protecting people like her. And it is just very funny to me that those are the three people in this conversation, because Julie's also lying about not being a lawyer. It's the three lawyers, but none of them realize that it's the three lawyers. Mm-hmm. And that's very fun.
Yeah. So we see that, and then we see a boat show up to the beach. One person has to go on a journey. The boat, or the show, provides a bag. If multiple people want to, they provide a bag with rocks that they can draw, which was surprising because they've had this before of like they have to make choices, but they just let it come down to like rock, paper, scissors or something. And
yeah,
this time the show's like, here's some rocks, just make it easier, which I think almost changes it in a way, because it makes it harder for if a player doesn't want to go to not join in. Like Emily didn't seem super enthused to go. And I don't think she would have, if it was down to like rock, paper, scissors, she probably would have just like held back and not participated in that. But when it's right. drawing rocks, it's hard to be like, nope, I'm not going to draw rocks when everybody else is. It kind of seems weird. And so I think that affected the decision a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
But Emily wins. She draws the different colored rock. And she goes on a journey where she has to walk down a coast. There's confessionals where she talks about how she's changed and she's softened herself on the show. And then she gets to the savvy task where she reads that four have tried and failed. How confident are you? If she does it, she's safe through the next tribal. If she fails, she loses her vote in the next tribal. And she chooses not to risk her vote. And so she does not participate. So that way she can keep her vote safe.
I think that this puzzle looks nearly impossible to do, especially given the short time frame. But I still think immunity is too good to pass up. I think I would have done it anyway. Which yeah, I probably would have failed it, but I think I would have done it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she probably already had some like hesitation because she failed at the last puzzle that she got to do for some sort of advantage. The number one.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
But she does have like the backup of if it does go very poorly and all the numbers seem against her, like she still has her shot in the dark she could use. She could probably make some headway in trying to throw votes towards Jake before herself. So she definitely had some options here. I think it is rough doing it, going back and telling the truth. And then people are just going to be like, yeah, but really? Like, they're going to doubt that and wonder if she actually did get an advantage, which is tough.
That is kind of why I think I would do it anyway. Of, like, people are going to assume I have an advantage, so I might as well do something. Like,
yeah.
And potentially get something. I do wish Jake would have gotten to go on this, both because I really like Jake and wish that he would have gotten to do it. But also, he's the only one left who was on Sweat and Savvy and has seen this puzzle before. And so I would have been really interested for him to see this again and be like, oh yeah, I like remember trying this. I remember this not working. Like, I'm going to try it because I like, maybe we would find out that they were actually making some headway on it before they failed last time or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Like seeing, it's a cool take that like there was the option to see somebody retry a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
well, I mean, it's the show who came up with that idea.
You said it was a cool take, and so I'm taking that as my cool take.
Oh, no, that was directed at the show, Survivor.
Oh, well, good job, producers. I'll take your credit. Thanks, Chris.
Drew and Julie discuss back at camp that Emily is a threat due to people on the jury liking her. Drew asks Julie if she wants to do something tricky with the idol to gain some clout. And I thought it was funny how quickly Julie was like, no.
Yeah. I also thought that was funny. And then I surprisingly, for some reason, remembered this conversation at the end of the episode. And I was like, oh, wait, but she does do something tricky with the idol.
Well, she didn't want to.
She did it only because Drew kind of forced her hand. She wasn't trying to, but he like, this conversation, I think, is very fun, like, foreshadowing, where she's yeah, like, no, so I don't want to use my idol. And Drew is like, well, then I'm going to vote you out. And then she does use her idol, even though...
Yeah, so he says this to her, which makes her suspicious. So she goes and tells Dee this, and worries that this might be a crack, and that Drew might side with Emily over the original Reba 4. We get a shot of Keturah and Jake practicing fire making, and Keturah says, why can't we just vote someone out at 4?
Okay. Which
Jeff also mentioned on his podcast of something like fire making came up and he was like, I don't want to talk about it now. When it comes up later, let's put a pin in that. We're going to talk about it.
People have been talking about this a little bit on Reddit and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but no one has my theory, which is that fire making isn't happening this season. They're doing.
I've seen tons of people theorize that.
Oh, I saw people saying like, something terrible is going to happen with fire making this season, so they're getting rid of it after this season or something like that. I have not seen anyone theorize that. Okay, well, that makes me feel better about it, actually, of like, I really think that this is like clear foreshadowing to no Final Four fire making. I'm just way too optimistic and hopeful about it.
I mean, I think that makes sense too, because it feels weird to be showing fire making practice this early.
I feel like it always happens this early.
I think they usually show it like in the finale episode when it's going to be coming up, is when like they're all practicing and stuff.
Maybe. I feel like there's always hints of fire making early on, but
I mean, if that's the case, then I feel like it's less likely they're going to not have fire making this season if this is typical that this is always happening.
I guess it's less like practicing fire making and more making fires around camp gets shown, to because then there's conversations about like, oh, this person's a threat. Like in, I remember they voted out Sammy in season 43 in part because he was a threat at fire making, and that was like final 7 or 8 or something like that.
We'll see. Let's see what else. Austin talks to Drew about, I have a note before that. While they're doing the practicing with the fire, Drew wanders up and asks what they're thinking about Final Four. He's clearly looking to like take a shot at Reba, specifically Julie. He says he thinks Austin would be up for something and that Dee's threat level is down recently. So Katura goes and talks to Austin, mentions that Julie has a rising threat level, and he agrees, which they're really set on, because they like refer to her as like Mama J, that she's like a huge threat. But I feel like the show hasn't been showing us, I've often viewed threat as having like strategic power is important to be a threat, and I haven't seen that from Julie.
I agree with you on that. I do think that these people, the most recent Final Tribal Council that they saw was Gabler, which was like kind of a shock to people, and the explanation that everybody heard was, we just liked him more than we liked the other people. And yeah. So like when there wasn't an obvious choice, we picked the person we liked the most. And so I think Drew is worried about it being a Reba, like 3 of 3 before in the final three, and them picking Julie because they like her the most.
Yeah, I guess. It just feels weird that they would do that based off of like the recent tribal count, like one season out of 40 seasons, which I mean, that's not the only season that people just voted for who they liked best, but
yeah,
I don't know.
They just
kept talking about her being a threat, and I think she's like done pretty well in some challenges, but that is as threatening as I've seen from her, other than being likable.
I do think that this conversation I found interesting of like some people's threat level is like decreasing and some people's threat level is increasing, and like it made me think about the game a little bit differently of like you want to, you know, lower your threat level and then raise it right at the end. Or like it's okay to like have a higher threat level early on as long as you dip it down and then like raise it up, and the goal is to have like the highest threat level at the end of the game, essentially. Which I just feel like often it is like this person's a threat, they're gone, and it's like a binary, like they're a threat or they're not a threat. And I kind of like this idea of like everyone's threat level is increasing or decreasing, and it's always a game of like the timing of that, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is maybe obvious. It was just like an interesting way of wording it, essentially, that like I think Dee is clearly a threat and has been for a long time, but they're like, but she's not really a threat right now. Like if the game ended right now, she wouldn't win. So let's ignore her.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that it's like them talking about these people as threat, like using the word threat when it's really, they just mean like, I don't know, like some of it's like, well, clearly Austin's not going to view Dee as a threat because he wants her to stay around. Like he likes her.
And yeah, that's fair.
It's like just convenience of like, well, I think it's about time we got rid of Julie. So let's say her threat level's rising.
Yeah, when they really mean like personal target level.
Yeah. So when Katura talks, mentions Julie and then Emily, Austin's like, I think Drew's probably on board with that, but maybe not Dee. This was, I thought, kind of interesting just to see that like Drew came to talk to Katura, and then Katura went to talk to Austin and heard like the exact same stuff from him that she had heard from Drew, which just shows how like even like in step with each other that Drew and Austin are kind of, which was just kind of cool to see. Austin and Drew talk to each other. Austin is worried that it would crush Dee if Julie got blindsided and Dee didn't know about it. So he suggests Emily and then Julie. But Drew's like really pushing for Julie, and he's also worried about losing his idol if Julie goes, because she's holding on to his idol, which we find out that she has the idol that's good until the final five, and he has the one that's good till the final six, which I learned online is most likely because his is the amulet one, and that is not transferable, is what people said.
Oh, so that makes sense.
So that's why, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense to like give somebody else a stronger idol than yourself. But they said that when this came up in some previous season or whatever, that the ones made from amulets are not transferable, and so that's why he couldn't give her that one.
That makes sense. I was very frustrated at him for doing it like this, but that makes a lot more sense.
Emily returns, tells the truth about choosing not to risk her vote. Dee doesn't believe it. This is where she's like telling the truth, like, can only get you so far. Like, if regardless of it being the truth, people are going to think you might have an advantage, and people thinking you have an advantage is worse than you actually having an advantage, because you're in the same boat with them, but you don't actually have the power of the advantage.
Right, exactly.
Drew talks to Emily immediately about trying to make a move on Julie, and says that Julie wants to get Emily out. And so then there's a montage kind of Emily going to talk to like Keturah and Austin about the Julie plan as well. So that's kind of where we're at, is just everybody's kind of wondering whether it's going to be Julie or Emily. We go to the immunity challenge. They are attached to a rope, and they have to untangle a bunch of the rope and then go over and under obstacles, throw sandbags at blocks with letters on them, and then use them to solve a word puzzle. And the prize will be immunity plus a do-it-yourself barbecue back at camp. This was an interesting challenge. We've seen like something like this before, but I like it. It's well designed, where they have to untangle a bunch of rope, but they don't know necessarily how much. They need enough to like get the length to the sandbags and the puzzle. And some of them did it and came up short, and then some of them did it for throwing the sandbags. And then when they missed and had to go pick up the sandbags, they didn't have enough rope there, and that screwed them over. And so I like the challenge design for that. Drew is the first to the sandbags. He has a huge lead. Jake eventually gets there. I said, fortunately for others, Drew can't throw for shit. Like, he's trying to throw these sandbags and knock the blocks over, and he's real bad at it. But he gets to the puzzle with a huge lead. Austin eventually gets to the puzzle as well. This puzzle seemed really hard to do. Like, not necessarily get the message spelled out, but like, it's basically a big arch, and all the puzzle pieces are like the little like stones for the arch, but it's constantly trying to fall over. So you have to hold it up while putting up new ones. And it's just like long enough that it makes it like very hard. Like, Drew gets it almost done and it collapses at one point.
It also, Austin struggles with the idea that it has to be spelled the same, it has to be spelled correctly on both sides, mm-hmm. like front and back. Which like, I was very curious if this was not well explained, because Austin seemed so confused by it. But
I assume it was, and Jeff mentioned it twice to him and he still didn't realize it.
Yes, no, I agree. I was just like, what is happening here? Like, there's clearly something going on, which Austin at the end is like, yeah, like, I just was not thinking straight, basically. Mm-hmm. But that means that like, you both have to be like holding up the like the puzzle as you were putting it together, but also making sure that it's spelled right backwards and forwards, like on both sides, which just feels, because once it is up, you can't really like change stuff around, because it would all fall if you remove something. So it's a very fascinating puzzle, I think.
It's a puzzle that would, I still think, would be challenging if you had like two people working on a puzzle, like a lot of the puzzle challenges are in the early part of the season. And so for a single person, it's like really hard.
I feel like it might be even harder with two people.
Why?
Trying to like collaborate and coordinate, and like, I feel like we would just like get in each other's way. There would have to be like a lot of there'd be too many hands.
Yeah, that's true. So Drew gets the win. He gets to pick some people to join him for the barbecue, and he chooses Jake and Austin. So we get another boys girl split for the reward that we saw with last episode. We head back to camp. The girls are doing a little bit of a spa day in the water, talking about how Jake is an easy target for the next to go, even though it's like Julie's thinking Emily, Emily's thinking Julie, but they've got to talk about somebody who's not in the group that they're talking with, so they say Jake.
And then they just read their buffs.
Yeah, they find out that they're made in China. Is that right? I'm trying to remember what they
said. Japan, I think. I think it was Japan. Okay.
we cut to the guys having their barbecue. They get some pretty good looking burgers, actually. These are like pretty big burgers. I was impressed by them. Because usually,
why do you think this was at camp and not at the sanctuary where good things happen? I don't have an answer to this. I'm just curious if you have thought about this at all.
I don't know. It might be timing wise of just like when, like this whole episode is day 20, basically, I think. Oh, no, that's not true. Because pretty soon here we get to day 21. So I don't know why, or this might already be day 21. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, I think this is day 21. So maybe there wasn't enough time to go to the sanctuary where good things happen and also get back in time for tribal council.
Yeah. Drew wants some time to talk to Jake. Jake says he would rather not vote out Emily. They kind of lead him to the realization, like, okay, we should go for Julie. He agrees that she's a threat for fire making. He's hesitant to trust them, but feels good, at least through this round, that he has like some people talking strategy with him is good for him or feels good for him. Dee tells Austin that they're thinking Emily, but telling Emily Jake. And Austin is like trying to figure out how to broach the idea of saying they're going for Julie. And then he tells her the Julie plan, which in my notes I wrote, damn it, Austin, no showmances.
Yeah.
Dee goes and tells this to Julie, obviously. Julie says, if I do what I'm told, it's one of you guys to Emily and Jake. Let's make a move. We can get Keturah in. Would Keturah write down Austin's name? And then Emily tells Drew that Julie is trying to flip the vote to Austin. And I just noted, like, this is messy. It's just like lots of ideas going around.
Julie does an interesting thing when she's talking to Jake and Emily, where she's like, if I hear from you guys, I'm on board with whatever plan you come up with. But if I don't hear from you, I'm going rogue, which is just like a really interesting, like, look, I'm down to make a move, but like, you got to get to me. Otherwise, you're on the chopping block, essentially, which is very, I don't know. I liked that move a lot of just like, I think she kind of expected that they would not get back to her. And I don't think that they did.
Sorry, I missed what you just said. This, I've been trying to pull up what Jeff actually said about Keturah in the podcast, because I didn't want to like, I was remembering it differently than what you had said, and I didn't want to, I wanted to figure out what was correct. I don't know if this is going to let me share this audio or not. So I was like trying to sort through it.
Life. And then you have Dee sharing her story of immigrating from Cuba and her parents writing her in Spanish. Then you have Keturah sharing a very powerful story of her childhood and the impact it had on her relationship with her mom and the realization of how her decision to withdraw from her mom might be impacting her mom. And then Emily discovering the power.
Oh, I think that's it. Of just like, I guess the realization of how it might be impacting her mom just made it sound to me like this is harder on her mom than she realizes, which I guess I was probably reading a lot into what Jeff was saying there. I just didn't like how it was worded.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I don't think he handled it well. I was just remembering it differently from you. And I was like, I don't think I heard it like that. And so I was trying to find it and wanted to clarify it for listeners who maybe heard it differently also.
Yeah, that's fair. I do, this whole messiness of this vote, multiple times I was like, man, it is good that Drew has immunity, because I like, I think that a couple times they were like, well, let's just put it on Austin. And I think that if they could have said like, let's just put it on Drew, that would have happened. But
yeah,
like Dee and a couple others were resistant to put it on Austin. Then I don't think that they necessarily would have been as resistant on Drew.
I agree. And I was going to say, well, like he started up this mess after he had immunity, but he didn't. It was before he had immunity where he was like going around poking people. It's like, hey, you want to get something going?
Right. And I'm not even sure he realizes like that he might have been on the chopping block without immunity this time.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see next week, I think, how that goes down. Just lots of messiness. We head into the tribal, basically. I wrote in my notes, I genuinely don't know what's going down here at tribal council.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, are people going to go for Emily? Are they going to go for Julie? Are they going to go for Austin? Like, what's happening here? And so this is where, so we go to tribal council. There's some discussion of the game being easier or harder, like later in the game. And they vote, and they vote, and then Julie plays her idol. Austin does not play his. and the votes come out, and it is 6-1, six votes for Julie that are all canceled out by her idol, and one for Emily. So I, what I was wondering is, because we mentioned at the beginning how like all the Reba Four voted for Julie, other than Julie, obviously. Now, like, it seems like Dee was in on this, maybe. Like, so do you think there was any plan of the Reba Four of like, hey, Julie, we know you're playing your idol, so we'll just all like lockstep go for you, and then you choose who goes out?
I think that was it for Dee, but not for Austin and Drew.
You don't think Austin and Drew were in on that?
Well, I mean, Drew kind of led the charge against Julie, and Austin in his voting confessional says, like, keeping you another day with my idol could be a $1 million mistake. Like, I think that he was actively trying to get her out. I also think that, like, it was not good for Austin and Drew for Emily to, if they were in on it, they would have pushed against, like, Jake or Keturah, but they wanted Emily to stay.
Why did Dee vote Julie?
I think just to, like, not reveal that, like, she had that she was with Julie, that she had let Julie in on stuff. Yeah. I think that it was dumb for Austin to vote Julie, actually. Like, even if you wanted Julie out, knowing that Dee knew, it was possible that Julie knew, and Julie could put a vote on him, he needed to throw a vote somewhere else.
Yeah, but he, like, he even had a quote I noted down. Austin tells Drew that he told Dee, and Austin says, I wonder Dee, like, or I'm worried Dee could have flipped her. Or not flipped her. I'm worried Dee could have tipped her. And I was like, yeah, you think? Like, you told Dee, and Dee's been so close to Julie this whole episode, and you're just like, I wonder if she told Julie. Like, no shit, Austin. What are you talking about?
Right. I also think Dee maybe should have voted somewhere else, because Julie was like, maybe we'll just get rid of Austin. And so if Dee at all thought Julie might get rid of Austin, she should have voted somewhere else just to be safe.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised that it was unanimous for Julie. No one seems to care about splitting votes this season. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen.
No. So Emily gets voted out 1-0 from a unanimous vote the other direction, unanimously against Julie, but those votes didn't count. So Emily has gone 1-0. They get the preview for next week shows Julie and Drew at war with each other. A quote from Jake saying, I'm a wolf in goat's clothing, which I think is a great quote.
Yeah, I'm surprised that was not the episode title.
For next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake and Keturah planning something. Idol count now. We are down to just Austin's idol amulet, which is currently only good for next week. We'll see if they do a rehide of any idols, like if there's some searching next week for an idol.
I would bet that Bruce's idol is already rehidden and they just either didn't have time to look or didn't find it this episode.
Yeah.
So it wasn't worth showing.
But we only have two episodes left.
Yeah.
We need to pick an MVP for this episode and talk about fantasy and predictions and stuff.
We didn't talk about this a ton throughout our podcast, but I was thinking about who I was going to name MVP this episode. And it's hard because I think everyone made pretty huge mistakes this episode. Other than like maybe Jake and Keturah, but they were kind of like just along for the ride for the most part. I don't feel like people made a lot of noteworthy moves, or they made big mistakes like Drew going for Julie, Austin telling Dee, Emily telling everybody about the Bruce move. Like, there was a lot of bad moves happening this episode.
What were Julie's
bad moves? I do have an MVP. I just don't love it. What did you say?
What were Julie's bad moves?
So I guess I don't know that I can necessarily say that Julie did a bad move, other than I think that getting six people to vote against you is not great. I don't feel like I can award her MVP when she got six votes against her.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I was just wondering, like, because you had said everybody made bad moves. I didn't know who all that included.
I more meant, like, there were a lot of bad moves this episode.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Yeah. I don't really have an MVP. I'll say somebody.
Okay.
Three, two, one. Keturah.
D. Oh, interesting.
My reasoning for Keturah is, she is at a level of no threat status right now, I feel like, which metagaming is a threat that I don't think people are realizing. Like, I think she hasn't made people mad at camp, really, other than, like, she was obviously annoyed with Bruce. And so I think she's, like, coasting along a little bit now. And they already showed her practicing fire making. I think the same could be said for Jake, but I feel like There's been a lot talking about how like Jake's been on the bottom, whereas like Keturah also has kind of been on the bottom, but it hasn't been highlighted as much, which puts her more in the middle, which is a little bit better for final tribal council stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. I just don't think that she has a chance of winning, but maybe. I said D because I think that, like, in telling Julie, I don't necessarily agree with that move, but I think that her goal was to protect Julie, and she ended up getting Emily out in doing that, which I'm not sure that she realizes how close Emily is with Austin and Drew, but I think that that sets her up to be in, like, a really great spot in the future. And so she saved her either number one or number two in Julie. So
do you, so we have like so the non-Reba four,
Jake and Keturah
and Jake. Do you think they would, if there was a complete rift, do you think they would more likely side with the boys or the girls, with D and Julie or with Austin and Drew, or do you think they'd split?
I think that now they would side with the boys because they would think that Julie just made a big move. And so Julie's more of a threat. I think I would say that Julie and D are more of threats to win. And so they should side with Austin and Drew because of that.
That's why, that's like the, because I was thinking about like, so D did protect Julie, but now that like, that's putting up a bit of a rift here, it might be bad because she might not have the numbers to like keep going. It'll be interesting to see, especially Austin and D's relationship is obviously the kind of curveball, because if there wasn't that showman's happening, the rift would maybe be very clear. And like this whole episode would have gone differently probably because he probably wouldn't have told D. And so it's tough to predict what will happen based off of that.
Yeah.
So last week we predicted that Julie or Drew would go home and D or Julie would say the episode. And we were wrong about that. I don't even know who said the episode. I did not.
Emily did at Tribal Council.
Okay. And we each lost Emily, who was in our final three. So we got all sorts of stuff we got to fix here. Next week's episode title is The Ex-Girlfriend at the Wedding. And then the finale episode is Living the Survivor Dream. So who do we think is going to say the ex-girlfriend at the wedding?
I'm going to say Keturah.
I'm going to say D. My reasoning is maybe D is speaking as if like her and Austin were boyfriend-girlfriend, almost like they have this relationship, but then this rift happens where she is like not allied with them anymore, but she's still hoping to get to the end. And so she'll be like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Keturah because I think it might be someone outside of the Reba 4 talking about like the Reba 4 trying to stay together after a betrayal type of deal.
And then we have to make a prediction for the next boot, which is tough. At this point, we should probably try to predict how it's all going to go down, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to say Julie next and maybe D at final five. Drew? No. Yeah, Drew at four. And then, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Drew at five, Austin at four, and then Keturah third, Jake second, D wins.
I'm saying Drew will be gone next, followed by D, Austin, and then a final three of Jake, Keturah, Julie, with Julie winning.
I think that that is also pretty reasonable.
That would be fun because that's exactly what they were all worried about in this episode of Julie getting to the end and winning. And so, and it would also be fun if none of the Reba 4 made it to the final three.
Well, what?
Oh, no, I guess Julie is. Yeah, sorry. See, I don't even think of her as the Reba 4 because she doesn't do anything. Yeah.
At this point, at least one of them is making it to the final three.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll see. Next week, we'll very possibly shake all that up and we'll do new predictions. Season-long predictions, nothing updated really through this episode, except we had a unanimous vote against Julie and we had a successful idol play by Julie, our first one of the season, which Patrick predicted won. So unless we get another one, he'll be correct. Emily avoided getting voted out, or I'm sorry, Julie avoided getting voted out 6-1, which we'd already seen a 6-1 this season, by sending Emily home 1-0, which we have not seen this season. So the streak continues of no duplicate vote outs.
I was kind of surprised that there was not a 1-0 when I went back to look, but
yeah, I was too. Do you have a luxury item?
Yeah. I'm gonna, my luxury item this week is gonna be trains, which this is twofold for me. One, we did a little Christmas train this weekend, where we like took our kids, my wife and I took the kids to on a Christmas train where there was like Christmas decorations and Christmas lights, and it was through the Hocking Valley Scenic Railway.
So it's funny to refer to that as did a train.
Yeah, we did a train. There was Santa and there was the Grinch, and they came and visited us, and our toddler son particularly really loved that. And so that was very fun. Kayla and I were talking about how it might be the first time that we've ever ridden a train that was not like a subway or an amusement park or something like that. Because we've never really ridden trains before, like through between cities and stuff like that. So that was fun. But speaking of trains between cities, it was also recently announced that Ohio is very possibly going to get an expansion on Amtrak, including our hometown where I still live and where we are both from, being a stop on the like Pittsburgh to Chicago Amtrak, which would mean that like I could just like go down the road and catch a train to Chicago, which sounds real awesome. And I'm very pro train travel as a way of like, you know, transporting a lot of people. I just don't get to do it because there aren't a lot of trains around me. But I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, listeners,
That would be exciting. Like, I'm highly skeptical because I feel like this gets talked about like every couple years a lot. But
yeah, from what I can tell, this is like actually like steps have been taken to like Ohio was awarded a bunch of money in order to like actually start this. So like it's less of a like theorized proposal and more of like we are actually investing money to begin this process. So that is why it is exciting right now. But I think it's a eco-friendly, for the most part, way of transporting people long distances. And I really like the idea of like not having to drive, being able to like sit and read or attend to my children, or them not having to be in car seats when we go on long distances and stuff. I'm pretty stoked about that. So I'm just gonna, those things together made me think trains is my luxury item, or are my luxury item.
You think, I got questions.
Okay.
Unrelated to trains, but you mentioned Santa and the Grinch. And I was thinking about this because the Grinch is like somebody who's out and about at Christmas time. Sometimes he visits like a mall by you or by me or whatever, but he's like still grumpy. Like, I feel like he hasn't, it's like Grinch before the end of the movie, not Grinch like after the end of the movie.
Oh no. Usually when I see the Grinch, he's after the end of the movie. He's pro Christmas Grinch.
Okay. Still pro Christmas. He's just a grumpy guy.
Had a sweater that said, I love Christmas.
Oh, okay. You think he and Santa are friends?
Well, he was giving some coal to Santa, so maybe not.
All right, fair enough. Yeah,
I think he's still kind of like a grumpy guy, but less like overtly evil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like beginning of movie Grinch is overtly evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last week, I believe I discussed Bowls.
Nope,
2 weeks ago, I discussed Bowls. I discussed Bowls, big Bowls I got. Michael wrote in asking for me to link him the Bowls, which, thank you, Michael. He sent me some Bowls for Christmas. I appreciate it. Which this is twofold. If you're a family member of mine who's going to buy me gifts and you haven't already bought me more Bowls, don't buy me more Bowls. I'm good. If you have, I'd love some more Bowls. That's great. Thank you. but listeners, if you're like, okay, he won't shut up about these Bowls, where are these Bowls? You can see the exact Bowls I'm talking at bit.ly/ChrisBowls. bit.ly/ChrisBowls. ChrisBowls. Those are the set, the size, everything that I got. They weirdly come in a set of three, which is why like two sets is perfect, because three seems weird amount. But two sets to have six seems good.
These are some fancy Bowls.
Yeah. They're pretty nice and they're huge. They're like, I love them. I use them today.
And they're like nice and colorful.
Mm-hmm. different colors on the outside than the inside too, which is fun.
That is fun.
So yeah, listeners, if you want them, I'm not getting paid any money from this, from Amazon or the company that makes them, but bit.ly/Chris Bowles.
They are advertised as large, not huge, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. They're the perfect size. My item for this week, though, because I was talking about an item from previous week, is something I've texted Patrick about, is the game Chance of Sinnar. It is available on many platforms. I played it on the Switch. Chance, like C-H-A-N-T-S of Sinnar, which is S-E-N-N-A-A-R, I believe. It is a puzzle game that is based around languages. And so the gist of the game is you are this person like traveling around this little like village town thing and popping in and having conversations with people or seeing conversations from people where it pops up their language in letters, but you don't know what those are. And so as the game goes on, you try to figure out what the symbols mean. And so they might say something and you're like, I have no idea what that is. And then you see a sign for an elevator and it has like a symbol next to the up button and a symbol next to the down button. And so then you can be like, oh, this symbol means up, this symbol means down. And you have, the game has a little like notebook that comes with it in the game that'll pop up where you can like label stuff by typing in like up or down, which works pretty nicely. And then they like quiz you every once in a while where it'll pop up a page of like, all right, if you know your stuff, label these five things. And if you do it, the game will confirm like, yes, you are correct on those. And it gives you the right meaning of those, which is really helpful.
I've been playing this game also. I thought those little quizzes would be annoying, and they are so helpful because they often will reveal like, oh, that's what that thing means. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like I find them very useful.
Well, they're also nice for like guess and check too, because it'll sometimes the quiz will be like three things and I know two of them pretty confidently, but the other one I'm like, I don't know. And so I'll put in the two I'm confident about and then just like try every other symbol for the third one until I'm right. And I'm like, okay, good. Got that one now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun game. It's very cleverly made. And then it also like you're on this big tower that you keep moving up, and each like level you go to is a different society of people who speak a different language. So you keep learning new languages, but then the game cleverly like overlays the languages together of like, here's what the sentence would look like in the language you know, here's the sentence in the new language. And that way, that is one way to like connect it and figure out the symbols in your new language or in your old language. It's cool. I just beat it last night. It's a fairly short-ish game, I think, but it was really enjoyable. A nice puzzle game.
I don't know. The part that I'm stuck at right now, I think that I could play for hours, and I'm pretty annoyed currently. I have no idea what.
Where are these words
mean. Pretty early in the game, in like the temple early on. I think I need to go explore a different place and come back to where I am.
Yeah, often that is what I found, is like I'd be really stuck and I'm like, I don't know what these mean. That's another thing, is like the game kind of wants you to make guesses about what words mean, but it also like nothing that like stretches too far. Like usually if you have no idea what stuff means, it means that there's some room that has like a sign that will be make it much clearer to you or something like that. And so I got stuck in a couple different places, and then I like discovered a whole new room because I like went way back and was like, oh, I never saw there was a path this way. And I was like, oh, this makes it much clearer. Now I know what this stuff is. It still is like sometimes definitely where I'm like clueless, but it was cool. There's one of the levels of society is very science and math based. And so just wait till you get to that one. It's kind of fun.
Oh, that is surprising to me, just because the current level that I'm at is very religious. And considering it is called Chance of Sinnar, I kind of assumed like it stayed with these like religious followings that it's happening.
Yeah, it's the game also like, yeah, like with it has its own little like kind of story that is not super involved. Like I don't get super excited about games where I have to like pay super close attention to the story, and this one you don't really have to. It's still a fun story idea. So yeah, check it out. It's available on Switch and other platforms for not too much.
Before we wrap up, listeners, just FYI, season 45 is ending in like two more episodes. Season 46 is going to air starting in the beginning of March. So we only have like two-ish months.
Our episodes will start then. The actual airing episode premiere is February 28th.
Oh, okay. So we have like 2-ish months of off season to cover, so we'll be doing seasons 18 and 19 in like 3 or 4 episode chunks for the most part. So if you want to start that early, we'll be doing season 18 Token Chains and season 19 Samoa in the off season. So get ready for that.
Yep. Yeah. And if you want to email us any game recommendations, train recommendations, anything like that, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. This week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
LMNOP.